later, knowing that all was now completed, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, you are our God, our King, our Lord, our Savior. We realize we can do nothing without the presence of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray now, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. Blessings on the preached word, the hearing of your word. All to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm not a warm weather person. I prefer the temperatures of the fall. But I remember back in the summer just how hot it would be. I don't like being hot. I like it cool. But when you're hot, and when you're really hot, what you need is something cold to drink. It takes care of your thirst. It refreshes the body. It's a help, yes. But it's not by coincidence that the scriptures use the terminology to thirst to indicate a horrible situation, affliction, a bad condition, a condition that has come about by one being separated from God. They, in their experience, think that they have lost the love of God. They think that they have come under the judgment of God. In Exodus chapter 17, when Israel was traveling through the desert, they had no water to drink. They thought they were accursed by God. They were thirsty. And they thought they were in an afflicted condition. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, when God is explaining the curse of the covenant to Israel, he says that if you disobey me and turn and serve other gods, then in hunger and thirst you will serve your enemies, and your thirst will never be quenched. The psalmist goes on in Psalm 63 and says, My soul thirsts for my God. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. Again, in Psalm 143, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. My soul thirsts for you, O Lord, like a parched land. You see, according to the Bible, the terminology thirst communicates a painful and agonizing situation. A situation that is laid upon the soul and the body. A situation that one comes to understand and thinks that they have been abandoned by God. Thus, when we find Jesus hanging on the cross and saying, I thirst, what we come to understand is that Jesus, he's crying out in the thick of his misery. He is experiencing the judgment of God. He is experiencing the judgment of God for us. His soul, his body, is feeling the wrath of God. It was wrath without mercy, wrath without the least degree of comfort. The sufferings of his soul were so great, it turned a sea of joy into a desert of sorrow. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, for God did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all. This means that God did not spare even the slightest punishment, but put the full wrath, the full punishment of God right upon Jesus Christ. You know, when you have a cup to drink like I have here, And if you drink it all, we would say the cup is empty. Yet, there's still a drop or two left in the cup. But I would still insist that the cup is empty. But in reality, no, it's not. Well, when the scriptures say that Jesus drank the full cup of the wrath of God, he's meaning that there's not a drop left in the cup, but he received the full wrath of God, the full punishment of God, the full experience of hell laid upon Christ for you and I. If Christ had been spared any suffering, then we would not have been spared any suffering in hell. Think about that. Just think about how horrid sin must be then. If the Son of God must undergo such trial and torture in order to kill sin, how grateful then should we be? How thankful we should be that Jesus Christ stood in our place. How dreadful a place of hell is, where you always hear, "I thirst." In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus was a poor man, and he was laid at the front gate of the rich man. And every day the rich man walked over him in order to go to work. Finally, the poor man, he died, and he went to heaven. The rich man also died, and he went to hell. And then he appeared to Abraham and said, "Abraham, have Lazarus," this was the poor man, "have Lazarus come and just dip his finger in the water that I may get a drink, because here I thirst." This goes to show again that in the Old Testament, in Scripture, the term thirst, thirsting, "I thirst," is an indication of great pain, of great sorrow, of great agony. Since Christ thirsted on the cross, you and I will never thirst in hell. Instead, as the Apostle John says, we shall drink from the river of life and have our thirsts quenched. No one could sit calmly by and watch their child suffer under great circumstances. Yet God our Father was willing to send His Son to die on the cross. He was willing to thirst so that you would not thirst. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "How wide and long and deep is the love of Christ." What does he mean by this? It means that you cannot even begin to measure the love of God the Father for you, and that the sufferings of Christ on the cross should give you some inkling of this great love that the Father has for you. Great is the love of God to you. It pleased God to give up His Son so that you may live. As we come to this table, let us consider that Christ drank the full cup of the wrath of God. He did so that you and I would not thirst in hell. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the great mercies that you pour out upon us. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. O heavenly Father, as we prepare to come to this table, impress upon us the sufferings of Christ, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let us prepare for the sacrament as we stand and sing hymn number 87. Hymn number 87, stanzas 1 through 4. 1 through 4 of hymn number 87. Let us stand.